Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
And we have some winners this morning, Lee.
Yep.
In the gubernatorial campaign AG's race. And of course, in South Carolina, generally speaking, as you were pointing out, whoever wins the primary probably is going to win the general election because it's such a Republican state.
Well, those who call themselves Republicans.
On paper.
Yes.
Yes.
In some cases.
Yes, in some cases. So Pam Yvette and Alan Wilson advancing to the final. Exactly what Ram Reddy warned me about yesterday. And what he said is, you know, these are the two candidates who tend to be more on the moderate side, you know, both of them now in the home stretch against each other. Some might even argue from the same machine or at least somewhat similar group of, I don't know, kids they hang out with on the playground, shall we say?
Okay. Yes. On that playground off Gervais Street. Huh?
Yes, that one. It's a very exclusive yes, playground.
Yes.
Yeah. So Pam Yvette did not get a lot of mileage out of that Donald Trump endorsement, 28.9%, unless you look at it like, wow, she would have been dead in the water without that Trump endorsement. Don't know. She comes in first, 28.9%, Alan Wilson, right on her heels all night with 26.1%. Nancy Mace has already thrown her support, what there is of it, behind Alan Wilson, I thought
that was kind of interesting.
Interesting, yeah, because she was the one running around screaming that he wouldn't help her with, the attack she allegedly had that was sexual in nature. And he came on this show, claimed she never even called him about it. They had an argument. And this went on for months and months and months. So for her to back him is kind of surprising.
Yeah.
But she did. I got to tell you what, this is probably the end of Nancy Mace's political career. And a year ago, I mean, she was killing it on social media. If you had asked me a year and a half ago, who would win this race, I would have told you Nancy Mace would. She had so much momentum, going. And then just that crazy sort of the fallout from the breakup with her fiance, which clearly hurt her very much. I mean, just very much. They just spilled onto the floor of Congress and kind of crazy accusations. Still under investigation by SLED, though. They haven't shut down the investigation yet, so who knows? But all those personal details then coming out, the retaliation with the fiance back and forth in the news, I mean, just absolutely made her look crazy and destroyed her. So she went from hero to zero. I mean, she'd been fantastic on so many things. I thought she really had a shot at that governor's race until all of that happened. And obviously voters agreed. I mean, would she end up with like 50,000 votes? I mean, very sad. I don't see how she mounts a political comeback anywhere. I mean, I think she's done. And she had, again, tremendous potential before all of that, which just goes to show you in politics, keep your personal life out of your political life.
Yeah, if you can.
If you can, yes. If you try to do that.
Well, sometimes people get a lot of help with people getting into their personal life and exposing things.
So. Exactly. But that was a self-inflicted wound, and it was deep. Turns out to be pretty fatal for her, actually. All right, so Pam Yvette at 28.9% and Alan Wilson 26.1%. I don't know what you think, Lee, and I'm going to be curious to see what you do think. If you look at who's left, there's Ralph Norman with 17% of the votes and Ram Reddy. Those two guys are kind of the change candidates, kind of, you know, conservative candidate in Ralph Norman's case, change candidate in Ram Reddy's case. I don't see a lot of that vote going to Pam Yvette. I don't. I mean, I'm thinking she's probably close to maxed out what she can get. I don't see the Nancy Mace vote going to Pam Yvette. Maybe a little of it if it's some of these voters who are like, I'm just going to vote for a woman no matter what.
Yeah.
Well, please stay home. just don't vote that way. That's just really dumb. But, you know, you vote for the best candidate. But so, I mean, I don't know. I think Alan Wilson, sky's the limit for him in terms of picking up votes. He's going to have to work very, very hard over the next weeks to do that. But she's going to have a harder time than he is picking up those votes, I think. What do you think?
I think you're right about that, because obviously if the establishment is the current administration, which it is, then that label most you know, greatly impacts her and her, yeah. her stance. And I agree. And now, once again, though, you know, Wilson, having been the state attorney general for quite some time, you can claim that he's sort of establishment, but then the attorney general has a much different job than what the lieutenant
yes.
governor has
yes.
Or even the yeah. I mean, because, you know, you're the prosecutor. You're not the chief executive or lieutenant executive of the state. So and the thing is that Wilson has been pretty much on the – I won't say the forefront, maybe not the tip of the spear, but at least on the back of the the back of the arrowhead on a lot of social issues that conservatives find important.
He has. He's done a good job, especially with the suits that he's filed against Biden. And
exactly. Yeah. And that's the point. And I think that's something that in a primary is very important to the grassroots GOP voter. You want to see somebody that is supporting policy, that is supporting the ideology, the principles, the values that that you have. Now, obviously, you've got to turn that into votes and attract independents and maybe some, you know, center-leaning Democrats in the general election. But that's one thing that Wilson has got in his favor, in my mind, is that he has been on the forefront of a lot of the social issues that we've seen. You know, obviously, as you point out many times, we certainly don't have a Ron DeSantis in South Carolina or anything close to that. But, you know, like I said, Wilson has been at least close to the tip of the spear on a lot of these social issues that are before the courts and the things that the Trump administration has been trying to get across.
Pam Evett, meanwhile, really doesn't have a record.
Yeah, that's
it's a part-time job, yeah. Lieutenant Governor,
and it's a difficult. Yeah. It's a difficult thing for her.
Yeah,
because you know she's got to run against what her predecessor did, basically.
Yeah, and her only real record is this DEI with her, you know, with the company that she and her husband own. The fact that they, you know, acted as DEI advisors, you know, for companies that want to go more basically woke via DEI. She didn't. She left the company by then. But I mean, still their company still doing that stuff. So I mean, when you look at the two of them on social issues, you really look at them. He's miles ahead of her. He really is. The other thing I want to say is this. The upstate backed Henry McMaster's opponent, okay? And he never forgave us for that. And he lost the upstate when he ran the first time.
Yeah.
And it got so badly. I mean, we had a record-breaking massive fire making national news, went on for a week. The guy never showed up.
Mm-hmm.
He should have been on the ground running things. That's what governors do, right? Just to show they care. He didn't show up until I lit him up. Like all, you know, just hit him. Like, come on, dude. You know, I mean, you still got vote here. Show up. And then he finally showed up like a week later, like for an afternoon and then took off again. That's Henry McMaster for you. And that's his history in the upstate. I got to say this about Alan Wilson. And I'm a just the facts person. They called me about a year and a half ago and said, can I come on the show? And I'm like, you understand what that entails, right? You know what I'm saying? Like I'm right. Going to throw the kitchen
yes.
sink at you.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, but my rule is I ask you the tough questions, but I only do it once because yeah. otherwise it's just harassment
right,
after that.
Right.
It's silly.
Yeah.
Right. But I will ask all the tough questions. And he came on many times. We butted heads. Many times we did.
Mm-hmm.
He never once asked what the questions would be
right.
in advance. And remember, Henry McMaster, the few times he never considered coming on my show. He's always been extremely rude to me. Honestly, for no reason, because the first time we invited him on, I'd never even talked about him before because he had no record. And they just gaffed us off. Bobby Mack came close to getting him on when he was in the afternoon getting McMaster on. Mm-hmm. But then McMaster wanted to dictate to Bob what the questions would be.
Yeah.
And it fell apart. And then he just never showed up after that. I mean, so Alan Wilson, you know, contacted me a year ago, wanted to come on this show. I said, okay, I'm going to throw everything but the kitchen sink at you. You got to be prepared for that. He said, okay. And even when it got tense, and you could tell it was tense from his voice, he was not enjoying the Tara Show experience, right?
Yeah.
But he came back.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And he kept coming back till I didn't have any more hard questions. And that makes me think he will keep coming back and taking the tough questions as governor. He's done it for a year and a half. So, I mean, I give him credit for that.
Yeah. No, that's important. And you know, people need to look behind the curtain a little bit. And what you were talking about, the people expecting you to give them the questions ahead of time, that happens a lot with a lot of folks. And,
yeah.
And to us in the media, that's a telltale situation where you're like, okay, these folks have got stuff to hide.
Yeah.
And they don't want to have to defend their positions. And that's the thing. If you are a dedicated conservative mm-hmm. or liberal, you should know in your heart and in your mind and your soul how you are going to react to certain questions and you're going to go down the road. You may be evasive, but you shouldn't be afraid of any question. You should be able to defend it.
No.
And quite honestly, it's never a problem if you say, you know what? I don't know about that. That's fine. I'd rather hear that from a politician than somebody work behind the scenes to not get a question asked.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You'll notice for a lot of politicians who've never been on the show, I don't have as many interviews as everybody because I've got that reputation for asking hard questions. And it's because in the negotiation phase, I am not going to tell you what I'm going to ask you. And I am not going to, you know, capitulate to a pre-approved list of questions.
Right.
I'm sorry, I don't work for you. I work for the people of the upstate.
Yeah, right.
That's how that works. And so you're not going to see me get the interviews that some other people do. That's by choice. It's cost me some, at times. Sometimes I don't have the big names on. But when they come on, it tells you something when they come on the show.
Well, you had just about everybody on during this. I mean, because, almost all the candidates.
Yes. So that's good. That's fantastic. We'll see. Well, what's going on? Alan Wilson is coming on, by the way, at 8:33 today. I'd love to know what you would like me to ask him because I'm still trying to put the list of questions together. I've asked him so many things in the past, and I want to hit hard what we should ask Alan Wilson, who I think his path to governor is easier than hers, even though he's in second place right now. But you know what his problem's going to be, Lee? But both of them really. Is enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Right? They're not charismatic characters. You know what I mean? Some people are, some people aren't,
right.
Whatever, but they're not. And so this could get really weird on low turnout.
Mm-hmm.
Just got to turn people out. So going to be fascinating race to watch. Coming up on the show, the rise of the commu-Nazi, Lee.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Good,
yeah. I don't ever want to hear the word Nazi come out of a Democrat mouth.
Tell me about it.
Again.
Yeah.
Ever. Talking about Donald Trump or us or anything. They are done.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Dianaroga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't ever, 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 ever want to hear the word Nazi come out of another Democrat mouth again directed at us. Don't want to hear it. Folks, they set themselves up so well for this. 2 decades of everyone who disagrees with us is a Nazi. Back when I was at WBT in Charlotte and we just had blogs, I had a Bush Hitler gallery. And it was every time the Democrats likened Bush to Hitler and they were marching around with these Hitler effigies of Bush and burning them. Look, I don't like Bush, but he's not Hitler. Decades of Trump's a fascist. And folks, think about what the Democrats have done here. They have justified their violence. Their vile pro-violence rhetoric from the leadership. With what? Well, we're in unprecedented times. Trump is either a fascist, a Nazi, or Hitler, Hitler, Hitler. So we have to act like this. We got to beat up ICE agents. We got to run them over with our cars. We've never lived with this before. And when the guy with the SS tattoo shows up, the one whose campaign manager says he knew it was a Totenkopf, that's why I quit the race. I knew about the women. They were coming to me. They wouldn't leave me alone. By the way, she wrote a Washington Post article about why, editorial about why she quit the Grand Platinum race, ran 2 days ago. We know it all. They voted for the Nazi yesterday. Now, Let's go deep here for a moment, shall we? Eric Erickson on Twitter actually nailed this when he said, you know, why are they voting for Nazi? They claim to hate Nazis. Well, Erickson said, yeah, but they forgave him because he said he was a communist. And he did. He said himself that he's a communist. And he went, oh, you're a commu-Nazi. Sure. Oh, yeah, it's fine. Yeah, no, we love that. It shows you how terrifying the space is. But when you look at the Nazis again, I tell you this all the time. Who were the Nazis? But folks, we're watching history repeat itself. You're watching the New York Times and these other publications cover up for Graham Plattner. They covered up for him as long as they could to get him over that finish line. Who did they do that for before? The actual Nazis during World War II. Why? Because they were socialists. I've told you this many times. If you went back in time in a time machine, you asked, I don't know, some guy with a swastika on his arm in Germany, hey, are you a Nazi? They'd be like, what's a Nazi? Never heard of that. Why? The New York Times called them Nazis, and then it spread here in America. They didn't call themselves that. They called them the German National Socialist Workers Party. Why did the New York Times adopt the acronym back then? To cover up, because they were all socialists, to cover up the fact that socialists were doing these things. And then they went with a narrative that's been going on for decades. Oh, no, right-wingers are socialists. Sorry, right-wingers are Nazis. The only difference between the modern Democrat Party and the Nazi Party, so named by the New York Times to cover up who they were, is the nationalism. Democrats hate this country. Other than that, absolutely identical. Identical. What is the central plank of their party? We will take over medicine and use it to control the people. Check. We are socialist. Check. We are increasingly virulent anti-Semites. Remember, when the Nazis came to power, they didn't do it on a platform of killing 6 million Jews. They did it on an anti-Semitic platform. Check. Folks, Hassan Piker is the kingmaker in that party. Absolute anti-Semite. Doesn't hide it. Same thing with Zohran Mamdani. Doesn't hide it. His wife cheered on the Hamas rapists and didn't apologize for it. This is Nazi stuff. The reason they elected Plattner, our side's not getting it. We're just not getting it. The reason that they elected Plattner yesterday to represent them for the U.S. Senate is because they increasingly identify with Nazism. It's not despite it. It's not. I mean, folks, understand what's on that man's chest. It's not just a Nazi tattoo. It's a tone cough. That is the symbol of the SS. They ran the concentration camps. But they didn't just run the concentration camps. Who were they before that? This is why Graham Plattner identifies with that. They were the street thugs who would beat you if you didn't have their permission to speak, to give a political speech. That's how the Nazis were able to take over. They literally filed in the street and beat their competition. Physically, beat them. They were legendary for their street thuggery. That's what Graham Plattner identifies with, and that's what they identify with, and that's why they like him. Folks, you spend any time on social media, go look at the left. Go read Blue Sky. It is dripping with anti-Semitism. Everything's anti-Jew, 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 pro-socialism. What is that? Nazism. That's why he won. They identify with it. It's not despite it.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk your kids out of joining the military. U.S. military, yeah, talk them out. Because why? I had a child very interested in the military, and so I started paying close attention, because it wasn't big news at the time, during the Biden administration, to kind of dangerous stuff. I'm a mom, I worry, right? And I started noticing, way before anybody else started talking about it, that Iran was hitting our bases and doing catastrophic damage to our troops. And Biden was allowing it. 186 casualties over the final 18 months of the Biden administration. 130 catastrophic brain injuries. That's where you drool. That's not a headache. That's not a concussion. Those are serious. 3 dead troops. executed by an Iranian drone provided by China. Biden didn't do anything about it until the uproar became so great. He gave them a warning where he was going to hit 3 days before, let everyone clear out. The terrorists were even giving interviews to Al Jazeera. I'm fine. I'm good. No, I'm great. And then he blew it up. You know, another aspirin factory. And I told my child, you can't serve in the U.S. military. You can't do it. You're cannon fodder. They don't care if you get hurt. Well, then Trump came into office and Hegseth came in. Recruitment surged. People felt that sentiment that, no, you're cannon fodder. Democrats do not care. In fact, it was so bad. Every time there was a major hit on one of our bases, the Democrats would release billions more to Iran. But I felt better about it when Trump went into office. And to watch epic fury has been a thing of wonder. We could have a practically safe Middle East. Safe for not just our troops, but for transit, for cargo. And everything was going great until Trump lost his darn mind. I've been saying it for weeks. You can tell they have an embargo on Fox News against criticizing Trump. They do. I mean, you could tell. There's got to be a memo somewhere. It's probably bad for ratings. And people are losing it trying to find a way to say, this is insane. Well, New York Post broke that embargo. Headline. Trump's advisors are letting Tehran play him for a sucker. I'm just going to read it because New York Post, one of his biggest supporters. The United States must, of necessity, respond to this attack, President Trump announced Tuesday, of Iran's shootdown of the U.S. Apache attack chopper over the Strait of Hormuz. Central Command soon launched proportional strikes. Folks, that is an Obama term. Proportionals, that's Obama, those are Democrat words. Central Command soon launched proportional strikes, which don't sound like enough, the Post writes. The president needs to show he's serious or Tehran will keep trying to play him for a sucker, as it has at every president going back to Jimmy Carter. Consider, Trump told the press just hours before the attack on our troops, we're very close to having a very, very good, very strong, powerful deal. A country that's very close to sealing a good deal in good faith doesn't escalate against its negotiating partner. That leaves us wondering, the Post wrote, what presidential advisors are leading him down this garden path to likely humiliation. Oh, it's already at humiliation. By one count, he said, we're nearly there 38 times since he announced that almost all the points of contention had been agreed to and that a 2-week period should allow the deal to be consummated. We're now 10 weeks into that 2-week period and everything's going backward. And then, folks, there's this outrage, another editorial in the New York Post, because it took two to cover this mess. Trump claims Iran shooting down U.S. helicopter with two pilots wasn't a big deal. What did he say to them last week when he gave them permission to fire on our troops? No, he did. He did last week. And I'd have lit a Democrat up for it. I am no hypocrite. I'll light Trump up, too. I don't care. What did he say? The red line, the new red line. By the way, there have been over 15 red lines. They've crossed all of them. But whatever. The new red line for our troops is you can't kill our troops. When he said that last week, I lost my mind. Because what he didn't say is you can't hurt our troops. Hurting our troops is on the table. That's why they hit that Apache. And I said there, you know why he said that? You know why he said you can't kill our troops, but he didn't say you can't hurt our troops. They keep firing our bases. We still don't have the Iraqi casualty totals. You know why? Our troops got hurt. What, 3 weeks ago now? They got hurt. They got hurt in Iraq. Our media blacked that out. And darn it, I hate when the media blacks stuff out. If it's us, if it's them, if it's the left, I'm going to call them all out. They blacked out that attack on those Iraqi bases of ours. And then we didn't release the casualties. Why? Somebody got hurt. And then they're firing at our bases in Kuwait. Stop it. General Jack Keane, the only one with any sense, is losing his mind. He said, you can't. They're trying to kill our troops.
So let's make no mistake here. They were trying to kill two of our pilots. And we're not going to wait for them to succeed at something like that. But it's part of a pattern here. I know the president's getting close because people are telling him they want to make a deal.
But the evidence in terms of where they really are is quite the contrary. The IRGC is really in control here. The negotiators are not.
No. All this started when J.D. Vance took over, and I know his best friend Tucker Carlson's whispering in his ear. Folks, you know what's going on here? I'm telling you what's going on. Donald Trump desperately wants the Abraham Accord signed. It would be historic. 50 years, nobody else could get anything like it done. Why? His ego. He's got a big ego, and normally I like that. We have no one on our side with a big ego who fights. He does. That's why we needed it. But it's his ego. That's what this is. He wants to be the guy who even the Washington Post and New York Times has to admit did something no other president did. He is putting our troops in danger. He is killing our presidency. He is now losing support among his conservative base, his most ardent supporters, because of this idiocy. He wants the accolade, and he is blind. And folks, why is this happening? He told us why. I've played the clip for you many times. 30% of the targets, we just stopped. We didn't hit them. We had 2 weeks left. We just let them keep it. How do they target our troops? With the two radar centers, we had a blow up in the last week because Trump let them keep them. Ugh! I'd lose it on Obama and Biden for this. And they never did anything this bad.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's jump on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. What's great is getting old enough to see the people who screech fascist over regular Republicans now voting for Nazi death squad enthusiasts who hurt women. It's a real Democrat party. Who they are. Folks, I did my whole podcast on this yesterday. It was such a big deal. Do you see this new poll out from Elon and YouGov? Only one group of people in America wishes they lived in another country, and that is Democrats. 55% say they wish they lived in another country. Why? Because the culture of this one is so different from their culture. That's why. And you know what's driving this? You want to know why Graham Plattner got elected? Oh, they didn't care about the Nazi tattoo. No, they are Nazis. What is Nazism? German National Socialist Workers Party. Look at what's gone on with Democrats. We haven't changed. Folks, from 2010 to 2025, 80% of Republicans have said, no, we don't like socialism. Well, what have Democrats said? Where are Democrats on this? 66% now support socialism, up from 50% in 2010. If you're wondering, why are they identifying with the Nazi? Because Nazism is an anti-Jewish, anti-Semitic form of socialism. In other words, it is exactly what the Democrat Party is now. Don't believe me? Go on Blue Sky. Just read. It's all, we love communism, we love socialism, we hate Jews. I just summarized, and we hate Donald Trump. He's a Nazi. I just summarized Blue Sky for you. You don't even have to read it. This is where they're going, and Graham Plattner is perfectly in tune. That is why he got 73% of the vote yesterday in Maine, even though they knew what that tattoo stood for.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before, and that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the good news, Lee, is they appear to all have made it through. The Freedom Caucus, mm-hmm. the few conservatives left mm-hmm. in our legislature.
Yeah.
Dark money campaign aimed at them. Worst I have ever seen in all my years of covering politics. Absolutely outrageous.
Well, that's saying something.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about, okay, just so you understand what's going on here. Yeah, there's dark money in every state, and it's bad and it's nasty. But South Carolina is the worst. Ask Rock. Yes, South Carolina has notably weak regulations on dark money and campaign finance disclosure. The Center for Public Integrity's State Integrity Investigation gives annually South Carolina either a D- or an F in political financing due to what amounts to basically zero disclosure or ethics enforcement. Basically, what we have in this state, and everybody was texting me last night, a friend of mine did. She was, you know, really into politics. Her husband ran for office. Best guy ever. He would have been fantastic in the legislature. You would have loved him. But the liars at these dark money organizations took him out, and you guys elected a liberal Republican instead. So I said, you know what? I'm done. I'm going to war with these people because they just lie and lie and lie. And they lie in the form of those mailers they send to your house. One of the worst is Palmetto Truth Project, the hilariously named Palmetto Truth Project. A new one this time was the Conservative Grassroots Network. There's nothing conservative. These are liberal groups. And they flat out lie about these legislators' voting records. I mean, like, I know the slate of Freedom Caucus members who voted against a pay raise for themselves. They sent you mailers telling you that they voted for it. That's how bad. It's 180 stuff, Lee. They're not even trying to deal in subtleties. It's just flat out lies. And Lee, they all operate from P.O. boxes. Wow. They don't even give addresses where you could try to figure out, you know, who rents this, who owns it, who are the people behind this. In other states, you at least with dark money have to disclose your large donors, not here. And if you've noticed the texts that are coming from dark money groups, there's no tag on them, like even who sent them. They're like out of the ether. That's it. So massive amounts of dark money were deployed against the Freedom Caucus. And I begged you, please do not take one of those mailers to the polls and vote based on it, because you will be electing a slate of liberal candidates they've put up to challenge actual conservatives, the few who are left. So really, really glad that got a lot of traction online. I pushed it really hard. Freedom Caucus pushed to let people know, no, you cannot trust these mailers. And it appears they all survived, Lee, unless I'm missing somebody. That they were able to do it. But we're going to see these kind of lies in the governor's runoff. We're going to see them in the AG's runoff. There's just big, big, big money in this state, particularly liberal law firms. A lot of interests, vested interests, and they're going to lie to you. Be very careful with anything in your inbox at this point. Anything you get in a text on your phone and anything that comes to you in the mail. I've never seen it this bad. It's a mess. Texter writes on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, Tara, Trump is apparently misinformed on South Carolina. Does he know the legislature refused to pass his tax cuts from the big, beautiful bill? Obviously, he doesn't. Can he not see that they just blew up his redistricting request? They blew it off? Again, obviously not. I would like to know if Wilson will pass these cuts through. Yeah, I can ask him that today.
Well, I mean, it's got to get through the legislature first.
And I got to tell you, look, I normally love Trump. Trump has done generational damage to this state. And it started in the last round. My guess is what happened. Trump endorsed a whole slate of legislative candidates. I cannot imagine why a president would do that. But he did. It was basically every single liberal out there. And my guess is he endorsed Lindsey Graham shortly after that for Senate, knocking out any kind of credible candidate who could have beaten Lindsey Graham, like that had a big name. Because I'm telling you, some of these people in this governor's primary could have beaten Lindsey Graham. But Trump cleared the field a year in advance. And I've told you why. I know why. I mean, it's easy to watch why he did it. He's afraid of Lindsey Graham, and rightfully so, because Lindsey Graham controls the budget committee. His entire agenda was in that big, beautiful bill, and it had to pass through Lindsey Graham's budget committee. So Lindsey Graham held Trump's entire presidency in his hands. I don't think he had a choice, right? My theory, and I don't know this, but my theory is Graham also gave him a slate of every liberal Republican, or every liberal posing as a Republican, and Trump endorsed them all. So they're all in the legislature right now. And this is why you're seeing outrageous stuff, Lee, that you don't even see from liberal states. I mean, keep in mind, Vermont, New Hampshire, and California passed the Trump tax cuts at the state level.
Go figure.
We did not. Yes. That's how radical this state is. To the left, these people, yes, are Republicans. Why? Trump did that. He knocked out a whole slate of marvelous candidates. I don't know why he did it. That's my guess right there, that that was part of the Lindsey Graham deal. This is the Lindsey Graham machine. And then the very people who humiliated him by, you know, not helping with the redistricting. I mean, McMaster could have called that session early. It would have only needed 51 votes. He refused. You know, we had to push it through with 2/3 votes. That was a disaster. Then he finally calls it after he runs out the clock, does zero to lobby for it, leaves Trump hanging. A humiliation for Trump and devastating for us, Lee, because as Axios correctly points out, Democrats only need to take 3 seats to take Congress, to take the House and start impeachment. Could have been 4. But Henry McMaster, Shane Massey, and this slate of Republicans he endorsed shanked him. So, I mean, Trump did this to himself. He absolutely did in this state. And we had those, you know, few Freedom Caucus members who'd managed to survive the Trump endorsements actually hang on. And the dark money came for them this time. Then you look at who Trump endorsed. I mean, Lindsey Graham. Okay, he had to do that. Pam Evett and Henry McMaster. I mean, that's a reward for their treachery on the redistricting. They knocked a seat we needed to the Democrats. By the way, an unconstitutional seat, according to the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's going to reverberate. I mean, you think Shane Massey, the liberal Republican head of the Senate, is going to eliminate the income tax? Yeah, I mean, you're tripping.
Yeah.
He's not. He's not. And that same crew that Trump put in place that betrayed him on the redistricting and knocked that district to the Democrats. Again, it could be Republican plus 7 right now. It's Democrat plus 14. And what's so devastating, too, is that District 1 out on the coast, I used to live in it, and it swings back and forth between Democrats and Republicans. They could have taken that from plus 3 to plus 9 in that plan. In other words, making sure it's solid red? Nope. We got Lindsey Graham for another 6 years. You're about to see Lindsey Graham 2.0. He's a pretty miserable dude for the next 3 years. It's going to be an absolute thorn in Trump's side after this election is over. So it's going to take us years to purge the liberals out of our system here in South Carolina. And, you know, I'm getting all these texts. How could voters do this? How could they do this? How could they trust Trump. They trusted Trump in the last election. He blew it. And in this election, again, the only real source of news in this state on who's conservative and who's just pretending to be is us, 98.9. So I don't entirely blame voters. It was very hard, Lee, to find out who was a good person to vote for yesterday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It really was.
I mean, you got to do some research, but yeah.
So, but when you look at just the degree to which, again, and I look, Pam Evett may be a nice person. She seems like a nice person. Yeah. I don't know her personally. But when you look at the degree those two have let him down, it's shocking. And you want to just look at it, who's been the worst to Trump in the entire lineup that ran for governor yesterday? That'd be Evett. He endorses her. And again, it's like Kim Paxton said, if you're going to give away your endorsement to basically someone who hates you,
make it worth something,
or works against you, get something.
Yeah.
Did we get the district? Did we get the redistricting? No, we did not. McMaster could have called these people out, demanded they pass it, call them out by name, lobby something. No, he didn't. He let Trump hang. And Trump, to his credit, kept his word and endorsed Evett. But this has got to stop. I mean, he is just, I mean, we're going to end up with a purple state at the rate we're going. Let me tell you how that happens. It happened in Colorado. The liberal Republicans draw the districts so that Democrats continue to win or win more. And then they keep the primaries open. Then they put the dark money behind liberals who'd otherwise run as Democrats. It happened in Colorado. It took 15 years. It's going to happen here. And Trump did a lot of it. A lot of it. And you saw the results yesterday. Again, we should have 15 to 20 more conservative candidates in that legislature instead of liberal Republicans. Trump knocked out every one of them in the last. This was not this time. It was last time. They came for the rest of them. Thank you all for putting the Freedom Caucus back. A lot of them come out of the upstate. Why do they come out of the upstate? Because this station polices these races. If you tell us you're a conservative, we check to see if you actually are. So we managed to hold on to the Freedom Caucus. That's fantastic news. But I got to tell you, I mean, the Lindsey Graham machine, alive and well in South Carolina after last night. Folks, keep your eyes on what's going on in the UK. They already did it in Australia. And Fox News is trying to do it here with Republican support. It is the most totalitarian thing I've ever seen outside of China, digitally speaking. In fact, it's exactly the Chinese system delivered in Trojan horse to help the children. How's it work in China? Well, if you want to go on the internet, you need digital ID. It used to take the form of a little thumb drive you had to have, and you would check in the first time so they would know who you were. You couldn't use the internet without it. It was called a key. Well, now they do it with digital ID. They have to know who you are in order to censor and control you. And that digital ID follows you everywhere. So if you say and do wrong things or don't have a high enough credit score, you can't get a job. So knowing who you are is key to everything. Well, the UK had announced last year that you're going to now have to have digital ID to get a job, to buy a house, to rent a house, to get a driver's license. It's total tyranny. But they need a way to hook it. That's by 2030. They need a way to hook it up to the internet. And then it's total control. And they found one. Conveniently, just a few days after Keir Starmer, the very Nazi name sounding socialist head of the UK, was extremely disturbed, not by the murder of Henry Nowak, after woke police handcuffed him and let him bleed out in front of them, while literally the immigrant holding the knife that killed him with his blood on it was allowed to roam free because he said Nowak was a racist. Not that he assaulted him, but that he was a racist. He's begging for his life. He's begging for medical help. And they're cuffing him, laughing at him, telling him he hasn't been stabbed. You could clearly see the blood. Why? Because the UK's, police are now, they're very woke. They're young, they're woke, they're monsters. Well, Keir Starmer wasn't upset about the police-driven murder of Henry Nowak for political correctness. No, no, no. He's mad at Elon Musk for letting people see it. Less than 72 hours after screaming and yelling at Elon Musk for allowing free speech, Keir Starmer rolled out the scariest thing I've seen in a long time. Why? Because Fox News wants to do it too. They pushed it again this morning. Imagine this. Your devices all locked down until you get digital ID and prove to the government you are who you are and they tie it to your device. Then it turns on. That's what he just proposed. Let's go make it easier to raid people's house for saying true things. They do that 10,000 times a year now in the UK on average. By the way, 7,000 times more than Russia. He just announced it. Why? Because Henry Nowak embarrassed him. That's why he wants Elon Musk to make it stop. True things are a problem. What is his excuse? Oh, we have to save the children. Oh, yeah, no, you've got to prove you're not 16. Or we're going to lock down all your devices till you do. This is not about the kids. People who are 90 are going to have to prove who they are for their devices to turn back on when this goes through. Now, listen to Fox News' coverage of it. Okay? This is the same thing. And Ted Cruz is sponsoring it for some unknown reason in the Senate. It's a very similar bill. And on the House side, there's other Republican sponsors. Listen to how Fox News describes what I just told you.
All right, the UK is expected to ban social media for kids under 16 years old within the next 10 days following a three-month consultation on an Australian-style ban. It comes as a new report reveals children's well-being declined across this nation. Here at home, the report taking education, health, economics, family, and community all into consideration, saying, quote, the new score showed that 29 states, kids fared worse overall in 2024 than 2019. Losses in education since the pandemic drove much of these declines. Nearly all states, 47 in total, fared worse in 2024 compared to 2019.
Joining us now, child and adolescent family therapist Darby Fox. Darby, despite all we know about the harms of social media, the impact on our kids is not improving. It's getting worse. Is it time for a nationwide age restriction on social media here in the U.S.?
I think it would be.
Do you hear anything I just told you? The app, this is the Chinese style system. no adult can get on the internet without first submitting digital ID. You know how they're doing it in Australia? Since your credit card is so thoroughly background checked, you can give them a credit card and you can give them your license. And they create the digital ID for you, tying it to your accounts. Did you hear any of that from Fox News? Yeah. They've been pushing this almost daily for, gosh, months now. It's the Chinese-style system. It's exactly what the Chinese-style system is. And they're using kids as the basis of it. It's terrifying. It's there's no words for this. Anyway, I went on and on for minutes more. That's going to be great. Yeah. Everybody needs to submit your ID. How's it work? I don't know. Ask China. They have it perfected. It's total tyranny, folks. It's Mark of the Beast. This is why I'm obsessed. And by the way, you blocked. Thank you. Because it was going to pass. They had let it out of committee. You and your phone calls stopped digital ID at the state level. This is why state stuff's very important. Because remember, this was just a few weeks ago, we called en masse to stop it. They were going to pass the digital ID bill to digitize your driver's license. They had the votes. I thought I'd have to stop it in the Senate, but we managed to chop block it in the House here. So there's none of this right now from our DMV. Because I'm going to tell you what, the second the DMV makes it available, even though it's optional, you're going to have to provide it. We've got to stop it. We can't even let digital ID exist. It's that dangerous, especially when you see Fox News pushing this. So keep your eyes on that. This isn't about kids at all. It's about adults and total grid control. All right. So last night, Alan Wilson and Pam Evett, I'm sure you've already heard the news, vying to be your next governor. More than likely, the Republican will win in the fall against the Democrat. A lot of folks texting me last night, emailing me, not happy with the results, kind of mad at South Carolina voters about it. But some perspective on that, okay? Here's the thing. What really hurt the freedom vote, the conservative vote last night, was the fact that Ron Reddy and Ralph Norman, neither of them would drop out. And so they split our vote, is basically what ended up happening here. If you put Ron Reddy's vote together with Ralph Norman's, you're at 31.1%. So in other words, say Reddy hadn't been in the race, I think Norman would have come in first. You just had a spoiler in there. And that's a problem. So unfortunately, we do not have a change agent candidate right now. And that's what Ron Reddy was saying yesterday. He said, listen, you know, you can't split your vote. Because the two of them are headed to the runoff, and they were. So, you know, whoever you supported, Nancy Mace, I think's a change agent too. She would have been. She came in with only 11%. She's already thrown her support behind Alan Wilson. So I think it's his to lose. I could be wrong about that. We'll see. I mean, anything could change over the next 2 weeks. But right now, when you look at it, his chances of picking up the change agent vote, the conservative vote, are a lot higher than Pam Evett's are. And you're already seeing Mace make that shift to backing him. So the problem is both of them have to turn votes out, and they're not charismatic candidates. That's not a criticism at all. It just means you're either born that way or you're not. Neither of them really has that, you know, that big charisma going for them that turns a lot of votes out. So going to be really interesting. Love to know what you thought about the results. Alan Wilson, by the way, is coming on at 8:33. So please send me a list of questions for him. This is our chance to, he needs you right now. In fact, it was just minutes after it was called last night that, you know, they had both made the runoff that I got a text from his scheduler to come on the show, asking to come on the show. And the reason they want that is because the road to the win runs through the upstate. You have a lot of power right now. And this is the time, and I'm not telling this to his face. I don't mind. This is the time for us to get what we want. In other words, to promise it, to get promises of it from Alan Wilson. I will give Alan Wilson credit for one thing. I think he did as well as he did in the upstate because he showed up. He's been coming on this show for a year and a half, and his people texted me really about a year and a half ago and said, can I, you know, come on the show? And I said, you sure you want to come on the show? I mean, you know what that entails, right? I mean, I'm going to ask you tough questions. And he said yes, and I threw everything but the kitchen sink at him in multiple interviews, and you've probably heard us butt heads a few times, but he kept coming back. And you get to know him, and I kind of have an operational rule. I ask tough questions, but only once. I'm not going to keep asking you the same question. I mean, that's just belligerent after a while. But I do ask the tough questions. He did show up. He did take them. And that's kind of where we are. Ooh, Texter writes, I just want to read this. Texter writes, Trump screwed y'all by endorsing Evett. Now the Texter writes, yeah, this is the main question they want to ask. Tara, can you ask Alan Wilson if he will deputize our law enforcement officers like Ron DeSantis did? Another Texter writes, absolutely hilarious. Nancy Mace pulled a Riley Gaines and finished fifth. It's got to be a liberal. Texter writes, yeah, ask Alan Wilson about swearing in state and local law enforcement as ICE agents. Texter writes, Tara, looking at the map of the upstate, I think they mean a lot of the counties voted for Evett. Why, though? And again, what it looks like that is because the Freedom Vote, the Change Agent Vote, the Ralph Norman Vote split two ways between him and Reddy. Again, you put it together, it's 31%. It's higher than Wilson or Evett got. And I think the vote just got split. And then Nancy Mace walked off with some of it, too. Texter writes, Tara, yeah, a lot of the problem with the voting is all these people moving from blue states, and then they complain that Republicans suck, but they're not really Republicans in office, so they're convinced Republicans are the problem, so they vote Democrat. Well, maybe something like that, I think, but no, because here's the good news, okay, from last night about this. And I've been telling you this for a while. By the way, Wall Street Journal reported this too, that South Carolina is not getting more liberal. That's not how, in terms of Democrats versus Republicans, the mix of people moving here, the Wall Street Journal said, is almost exactly the same as the existing mix in the state. It's about 2/3 Republican, 1/3 Democrat. So I'm not afraid of the state switching at all. But you saw this yesterday. I was kind of worried yesterday because we had this massive Democrat surge in early voting. Yeah, well, we shattered records yesterday. A whopping 468,000 South Carolinians voted in the GOP partisan primary for governor. And that's, you know, fantastic. 468,000 Republicans voted versus 368,000 Democrats. That's a 25% voter participation level that beats 2010's high watermark for the millennium. So that's the best ever. That's fantastic. So people super engaged. It's just they split the vote. You know what I think happened here is Trump endorsed Lindsey Graham a year out. He cleared the field of a, you know, A-level candidate. Because I'm here to tell you, I think Ralph Norman could have beat Lindsey Graham. I think even Nancy Mace, as weak as she was, would have given him a run for his money. Ron Reddy, I would not surprise me if he beat Lindsey Graham yesterday. But they all cleared the race because of the Trump endorsement for Lindsey. Everybody thought they couldn't do it, and they all piled into the governor's race and cannibalized each other. So, folks, it's not as bad as it looks on paper. And never forget, down south, and you're watching those Charleston precincts come in, you watch it, watching all of that, they have no good sources of news. Even the conservatives out there don't. But there's just no way to know which campaign ads are fake, which aren't. You can't tell who the conservatives are versus the people claiming to be conservative. And Donald Trump's endorsement, you know, fired like a shot in the middle of that. It confused a lot of people, I think. So it's not as bad as it looks. Again, if you combine the Reddy vote, the Norman vote, that entity, the Change vote, is the largest vote getter. And I'd throw Nancy Mace's in there too. She's very much a change agent if you look at what she campaigned on. So not all bad news, but keep in mind right now, Alan Wilson needs your vote to beat Pam Evett. So this is when we get what we want in exchange for showing up. We got a 2-week window to do that, to help pick the next governor. Texter writes on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 800-905-0989. My worry is Democrats crossing over and voting for Goldfinch and voting for Pam Evett. Well, the good news is we had a record number of Democrats voting in the Democrat primary in this state. And the reason that's good news is because once you vote in the Democrat primary, you cannot cross over. You cannot cross over and vote in the Republican runoff. You can only vote in the Democrat runoff. So if you voted in the Republican primary, you can only vote in the Republican runoff. Now, if you did not vote in either primary, but you want to vote in the runoff, then yes, you can do that. But if you voted in the primary for a party, you can only vote in the runoff for that party. You cannot switch. So that's really good. That's going to keep a lot of Democrats out of these races. When normally they'd be mucking around in our open primaries, which we've got to get rid of in this state. Good news overnight, folks. Good news overnight. Susan Collins flipped her vote on the SAVE Act. And folks, that is an absolute act of courage. This one was a senator from Maine, okay? It's why I give her a big pass. We shouldn't even have that Senate seat. It should absolutely be in Democrat hands. I don't know how she hangs on to it. She flipped her vote from a no to a yes. What does that get us to? It got us to 50 in one vote last night. All we need now is Thune to allow a talking filibuster, and we can get the SAVE Act, folks. That would go so far to saving the 2028 elections. It would be massive. If we can get the fake voters off the Democrat rolls, which it will do, China and Iran are going to have a very hard time meddling in that election, as they did in the 2020 election. We'll get into all that in the hour coming up. Breaking news right now, Lee, while you were in the newsroom, this broke on Fox. Mm-hmm. Trump telling Fox News he's reconsidering bridge and power plant day for Iran. He's close to strikes. He also said, and this should have been weeks ago, he also said Iran has taken too long to negotiate a deal, and now they will pay the price. So I have a feeling, Lee, this has less to do with Iran negotiating, more to do with the New York Post absolutely taking the Trump and the administration to the woodshed this morning. I mean, absolutely brutal. Headline in, and look, they're big Trump supporters in the opinion page. Mm-hmm. They really are. Trump's advisors are letting Tehran play him for a sucker, is the headline. And it gets worse for him after that.
And I can't say that they're wrong about
they're
that.
They're not.
I've like many conservatives, as much as I do not want a war, this is going on too long and there has been too little activity and too little response.
The United States must, out of necessity, respond to the attack, President Trump said, but said it would be a proportional strike, talking about the attack on our troops. And they said that's not enough. The president needs to show he's serious or Tehran will keep playing him for a sucker, as it has every president going back to Jimmy Carter. I mean, so for Jimmy Carter, Trump to be compared to Jimmy Carter, that had to hurt.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what I think is going on here. Trump really, and I think he saw Saudi Arabia and a lot of these Middle Eastern countries, you know, coming together behind us in Israel. He saw the real possibility of the Abraham Accords. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that would have been truly historic. Yep. I mean, nothing like it in 50 years. Absolute total win in the Middle East. It would have been legendary for him many decades later. And I think he got greedy. I think he's egotistical. That's what comes with being a narcissist. And look, we like the upside of the narcissist personality.
Yes.
No, and I'm that's not a slam on him.
No,
do you remember me saying to you, when he came down the elevator, I want him because he's a narcissist. Mm-hmm. I have one in my family. I understand them. If you have one in your family, it's like a sitcom every day. And people would be like, no, that would never happen. Oh, yes, it would.
Yeah.
They love to brawl. Okay, they thrive. And most human beings, there were no hospitals, you know what I'm saying? There was no surgical suite. We avoid conflict because if it, you know, ends in violence, we don't have a recovery mechanism, right? Narcissists are wired differently. They like to fight. We had no one like that in the Republican Party and everyone like that in the Democrat Party. Yeah. So I love it. I think he's great. But he got greedy here. He wanted those Abraham Accords. He wanted to bring those countries in. And he just went too far. Here's the thing that has been driving me crazy for the last few weeks. It's the danger he's put our troops in and doing this. And it's the fact that he stopped by his own admission. I'm not going to play you the clip again. I mean, I guess I could to prove it to you. And I'll play it. That he only hit 70% of the targets. Okay, Lee, he left the other 30. That's bizarre. Here we go. I'll put it over here.
Is it accurate to say you think the combat operations are over and done,
but they're
No, I didn't say that. I said they are defeated, but that doesn't mean they're done. We could go in for two more weeks and do every single target. We've done probably 70% of them.
Okay. So I've been losing it online going, okay, so guess what? They fire at the airport in Kuwait. They fire at our bases in Iran and Kuwait. I mean, Iraq and Kuwait. They fire at our destroyers. And what do we do every time? This has happened three times the last 2 weeks. We go destroy their radar facilities. Why? For the love of the Lord. Do they have radar facilities with which to target us? Mm-hmm. Why would you leave that? And we have this sort of parade of Fox News hosts who are military, you know, guys who are like, no, we're not, we haven't hit all the missile launchers. We haven't hit the radar facilities. I mean, did you see what Israel did a couple days ago? They blew up IRGC bunkers. Mm-hmm. Why do they have IRGC bunkers? We killed some of the leadership. To let them remain armed and put our troops in that danger every day. You know what I've been afraid of? And he's got to do this. I have been terrified Trump's Abbey Gate is coming. Because remember, Joe Biden let the Taliban control all the checkpoints for no reason, basically. Yeah. And we lost those troops. Trump's Abbey Gate is coming if he doesn't buck up. And you know what? It's okay if we don't get the Abraham Accords. Nobody has done what Trump has done till now in the Middle East. Okay, finish it. Just finish it. And that means you're going to have to kill the Iranian leadership. They killed 42,000 people. They do not deserve to live. And they want to kill us. And by the way, Lee, when you have the foreign minister openly threatening us on X yesterday, I'm sorry, you're not within 2 to 3 days of a deal. You're not.
Yeah, that's the part I cannot figure.
Our powerful armed forces, he writes, talking about Iran's armed forces, will leave no attack or threat unanswered. Leave our region if you want to be safe. That's not 2 or 3 days away from a deal. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's once again, I don't know why he keeps saying that. I wish that it were true. I really wish it was true. I want to see a deal. I want there to be something done, but we have... He has got to have, number one, for it to be impossible for Iran to have the facilities or the ability to make a nuclear weapon. That has to happen. And the other thing that has to happen, their intercontinental ballistic missiles and their medium-range missiles have got to be eliminated. That cannot happen. And the Strait of Hormuz has got to be open for international traffic without any regulation by other nations in the area.
As Rebecca Heinrichs was explaining this morning, the radar works with the ballistic missiles. The ballistic missiles can do a lot of damage. Yep. They are firing them. They had a long-range missile we didn't even know they had, and they fired it at our base, joint base with the UK and Diego Garcia. We had service members on it at the time.
Which Trump's trying to buy now.
Good. Well, let's get it somehow, because otherwise it's going to be China's. But here's the thing. I mean, you can't leave them with military hardware. You can't do it. I mean, and New York Post pointed this out. By one count, he said nearly there 38 times since he announced almost all the points of contention have been agreed to and that a 2-week period should allow the deal. We're now 10 weeks into that 2-week period. And everything's going backwards. We're not getting the Abraham Accords, okay? We have got to finish these people off. And here's the thing that drives me nuts, okay? Because there's a lot of misunderstanding about this on our side, too. I see people put in the comments, well, it doesn't matter because, you know, this is a quagmire and we got to do something to get the strait open. Yes. Kill them.
Yes.
Take out their radar facilities. Strait opens.
Yeah.
Trump has allowed them to control the strait. It has been a choice. And it was the choice to allow them to keep 30% of their military facilities, hardware and equipment. That is the choice he made.
And keeping Israel on a short leash.
Yeah, I don't get this. I mean, General Keane has said this. Americans think we did all that bombing in Iran. Actually, Israel did most of it.
A lot of it, yeah.
Just let them off the chain.
Yeah.
Let them off the chain. And by the way, an Israeli media story's been out there that Netanyahu 2 days ago said we can't count on Trump anymore. We can't count on America anymore. We're going to have to go forward. And whatever Trump says, Trump says.
Well, once again, you know, when you have... You don't have allies, you have interest.
Yes.
The problem is that Iran now is back to allowing Hezbollah to attack Israel in southern Lebanon and northern Israel. And so Israel is responding, as they should, as any sovereign nation would. And they should be hammering them. And they probably should be doing more. And I get the feeling that Trump is trying to keep Netanyahu to calm it down, to keep it to a low simmer so that he can continue to try to make a deal. And I understand why he's trying to do this, but I just think this is flawed because you are never going to make a deal with Iranian leaders.
No.
The IRGC is a theologically, ideologically based thing that they are not rational players. They are they're crazy folks. I mean, that's just it. They are not rational players. This is not North Korea. This is not China. This is not Russia. This is not India. This is not Vietnam. This is an ideological madness that you are going to have to kill to stop.
Yes. And Trump understood that in the beginning of Epic Fury and then just lost his mind. But anyway, if you're just tuning in, Trump is now saying, and this is the good news, Iran has taken too long to negotiate a deal. They will pay the price. And he's hinting to Fox News that bridge and power plant day is back on the table. Yes, let Israel kill the leadership. You know why I think he hasn't killed the leadership? Again, he wants that feather in his cap of the Abraham Accord so bad. I think he wants them alive.
Well, yeah, so
he
can negotiate.
But it's not going to work, and it's going to get our troops killed. Mm-hmm. And I just want to be clear about one thing, okay? I would never support putting a single one of our troops in the line of fire ever to protect Israel.
Right.
I would not do. That's their problem, okay?
They can do it on their own.
But we are in as much danger from this country as Israel, bar none. When you fire a long-range ballistic missile at our base with not Israel, the UK in Diego Garcia, a missile you aren't even supposed to have, and it's got space in the conical head for a nuke. Thank God they didn't get one on the black market and put it in. What do people not understand about how much of a threat this is? To us, not Israel. I'm glad that they are there. I want them to do our dirty work. Just unleash them. Maybe we'll get the Abraham Accord someday. Maybe we won't. The greater service to humanity is killing off this homicidal leadership. Folks, understand. They think the Mahdi went into hiding in the 10th century and they can only bring him back. We think of the Mahdi as the Antichrist. They can only bring them back by starting a war with the West, specifically us and Israel, that has mass casualties, okay? You cannot cut a New York-style real estate deal with that. You can't opt out of it. You can only kill it. And we've got to kill to the last one. Look what they do to their own people. 42,000 dead for disagreeing with them. It's time to just light the country up or let Israel do it. Get out of the way. Okay, folks, first the good news. A lot of good news today. Trump might be messing up in Iran, but there's a more important war, and he's winning it right now. Laughed my butt off yesterday at what happened. Don't miss it. Democrats got spanked for their DHS shutdown. How badly? Bill Malusion, Fox News, explains. Zero ICE reforms. ICE and Customs and Border Patrol are now funded with, get this, is the funny part, an additional $70 billion through the end of the Trump presidency, i.e. you and I get to be safe for three more years. We get to be safe. We've got external border security more than fully funded in Customs and Border Patrol, and we've got ICE. After negotiations fell apart in the Senate, Republicans simply went around the Democrats and funded Trump's immigration enforcement agenda on their own. Dems were powerless to stop it. That's called winning. And this is the best part. This is on top of the money ICE and Customs and Border Patrol already got in the one big, beautiful bill last year. ICE and Customs and Border Patrol now have, this is the best part, more money coming into their coffers than they ever would have if the stupid Democrats hadn't shut the Department of Homeland Security down. Good. Last night, Susan Collins, this is the second thing, Republican senator from Maine bravely voted for the SAVE Act. She flipped her vote. We're at 50, folks. We're at 50. J.D. Vance could break the tie. All we need now is Thune to allow a talking filibuster. He doesn't even have to get rid of the filibuster. Just allow a talking filibuster and we are there. We can save these elections. I mean, it's good. It's looking up. We're winning the right war. Now we just got to win the Iran war. And it's not hard. It's just a matter of will. It's a matter of will. Okay. Meanwhile, in this state yesterday, Pam Evett topping out, but not by much. Alan Wilson, just a few points ahead of him. So we've got Evett and Wilson headed into the runoff. I've got an interview with him next, and I'm glad you guys are sending me information, you know, questions for him. Please continue to do that on the text line. Meanwhile, folks, Graham Plattner, the commu-Nazi, and look, folks, all these Democrats know he's a commu-Nazi. They know it. He, and by the way, self-described communist. I'm not calling him that. He did. And what did they do? Texter writes, what's great is getting old enough to see the people who screech fascist over regular Republicans now voting for Nazi death squad enthusiasts who hurt women. That's the Democrat Party. That's the Democrat Party right there. But we're missing something. This is not hypocrisy. Well, it is. It's hypocrisy on part of the Democrat Party. But they're not voting for Graham Plattner despite the Nazi thing. That's what no one seems to understand here, folks. Gallup poll. Democrats are socialists. That's why Nazism appeals to them. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Gallup poll, 2010. 51% of Democrats say they have a positive view of capitalism. Today, it's 42%. What about socialism? Back in 2010, 50% had a positive view of socialism. Now it's 66%. What are Nazis fundamentally? They are the German Socialist Workers Party. They are classic socialists whose platform, when they ran for office the first time, was almost identical to the Democrat Party platform now, built around total control of medicine in order to control people. They're the same people. They're absolutely the same people. They hate the country. This Elon University YouGov poll, I can't talk enough about this. Democrats, the only group to say they want to live in another country, a majority of them, 55% want to live in another country. For Republicans, it's 10%. They hate the country because it's not socialist. That's what this all means. You want Graham Plattner perfectly represents the Democrats right now because there is a horrific strain of anti-Semitism running through that party. Don't take my word for it. Go on Blue Sky and read. It's all socialism, 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 total control, crackdown on free speech, and they hate the Jews. There, I just did Blue Sky for you. You can read millions of posts or just take my word for it. I'm telling you, the more they learned, think about this for a minute, the more they learned that he had not just a Nazi tattoo, but a Totenkopf. In other words, the SS, the guys who ran the death camps, the more popular he got in the last 2 weeks. Think about this. A month ago, Janet Mills, who's a moderate by comparison, she's at least not a Nazi, right? The governor of Maine, think about this, is profound. She dropped out when Graham Plattner hit 61% in polling. Okay? Think about what we've learned since then. The women, the, you know, the kick account, where it's mainly 13 to 24-year-olds, and most especially the Nazi stuff, right? How did he finish yesterday? 73%? The more they learned about the Nazi stuff, the more they learned about who he was, the more popular he got. 61% when he started. He's at 73 yesterday in the vote. And by the way, Janet Mills is still on the ballot. They could have voted for her. They wanted the Nazi. They knew what he was, and they wanted him. Why? He's told them, I'm an Antifa super soldier. I'm training with the Maine Socialist Rifle Club. You got to understand something. Nazism is popular in the Democrat Party right now. It is. Check up. They don't use the word Nazi. They don't have to. He is the perfect embodiment of this, and that is why Democrat Socialists of America recruited him. It's Pam Evett versus Alan Wilson for the win for the governor's office. Right now, GOP primary, it's on. 2 weeks to decide. Joining me now is Alan Wilson on the phone. Congratulations.
Hey, thank you so much, Tara. It's great to be back on your program again.
Absolutely. And look, I want to compliment you on one thing, okay? You guys called me, I don't know, maybe a year and a half ago, and you asked to be on the program. And I was kind of like, are you sure you want to do that? You know what that entails, right? And you're laughing because you've come on and I've thrown every question at you that I could think of, and we've butted heads, but you kept coming back. And I genuinely appreciate that. And I want to get a commitment from you. If you win the governorship, will you come back regularly and talk to us and answer the hard questions?
Tara, not only will I come back as often as you want me, I would love to come sit in with you on, like in studio, like at least once a month for like an hour segment. You know, as governor, I would love you to kind of put me under the spotlight, the sun lamp, if you will, and ask me the toughest questions. You know, I will give you as much access to me as you want, because frankly, you've got an incredible platform. The people of the upstate listen to WRD radio, and it's a great way for me to talk about what we're doing in Columbia, but it's also a way for me to be held accountable. And that's what I want. I want accountability, not just for me, but for all of South Carolina government. So yes, I will 1,000% commit to coming in as often as you will have me. And I will even throw in, if you want to do a 1 or 2 hour segment every month or every quarter, where I come in and sit in studio with you, I will commit to that at a minimum.
Okay, we're going to hold you to that. I want to dive in because I've asked folks to send me questions this morning for you. These are their questions for you on the text line.
Sure.
Will Alan Wilson call for a special session to get redistricting done?
The short answer is I don't need to call for a special session. If you know, obviously, if the governor had pushed on this while they were in the regular session, we wouldn't have needed a special. The fact that we waited till literally a few days before the early voting started, waited too late. So if the governor leans in on this in a regular session, you don't need a special session. So yeah, in January, absolutely. This is something I would be very much in favor of.
This one is all throughout here. We've all watched Ron DeSantis. I mean, we have 100,000 illegal immigrants in this state. We know they're bad hombres from, you know, the raid that you did, that you were part of on that nightclub. I mean, there's some scary people in there that you guys rounded up, but we haven't done enough in this state. There's 100,000 illegal immigrants in this state. We could begin to roll them up like DeSantis has. He's picked up more than 15,000 using deputized police and state, you know, highway patrol and state officers, but they've got to be federally deputized. I'm not talking about 287G. That's been around like 30 years. I'm talking about doing what DeSantis did, what Trump asked year one. So people want a commitment from you, and they're bringing it up on the text line. Will you fight to deputize? Because you're going to have to, I think, get a law through the state legislature. To the best of your ability, can I count on you to deputize them as federal agents? And let's start picking these people up.
Absolutely. 1,000% yes. I mean, not only that, I mean, look, I went to the U.S. Supreme Court twice to defend a state's right, that was Arizona and Texas, to be able to pass their own immigration laws that don't conflict with federal law, but support federal law in enforcing immigration status. The Democrats fought us, the ACLU, the Biden and Obama administrations fought us when they had the Justice Department. But as governor, I will continue to take the same positions I've taken as attorney general, to fight illegal immigration, to fight against, I mean, listen, all the drugs coming in with Tren de Aragua and the Mexican cartels, it all happened during Biden, and it's here in South Carolina. Tara, I have half a dozen investigations going on right now with drug trafficking operations in the upstate, and you're hearing about a lot of them. And of course, last week you reported on the 48 illegals that we were able to capture in a sting operation. So yes, we are doing it now, but I will make that a 100% priority when I am governor.
Folks want to know, are you committed to finally closing our primaries in this state, Republican primaries to Democrat voters?
Yes, 100%. Yes, that is something I've stated on the record that I would be 100% in favor of, and I will push for that as governor.
And, of course, you told me yesterday when we did an interview, you're committed to getting rid of the income tax. All these things you and I are talking about right now means that if you are serious about doing them, you are on a collision course with Shane Massey in the Senate, those very moderate to liberal Republicans who can't even seem to get redistricting passed and would rather the Democrats have a congressional seat. I mean, you're going to have to take them head on. And folks, I'm just going to be honest with you. They think you're a moderate. They have questions about whether you would knock heads the way you're going to need to using that bully pulpit. We have not seen Henry McMaster or Pam Evett do that. Will you do that? Will you kind of go to war with them?
No, well, first off, let me say this. You know, Pam Yvette has been in the number two position with Governor McMaster. She has taken credit for everything that he has done that people like, and she has said she has no power for the things that people dislike about McMaster. But she's been talking about doing all these things, but she's been the number two person in the Yvette McMaster administration for the last 8 years, and now she's talking about getting it done. I mean, folks, give me a chance. I mean, I haven't been in the room like she has. I will get it done. But when people talk about being a moderate, and Terry, I want to remind people, I went to bat for President Trump and defended his election integrity lawsuit all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, had 36 complaints filed against me trying to take my law license. It took me 4 years and nearly $100,000 in legal fees to defend my law license. You know, that's the kind of courage, that's the kind of commitment I have to fighting for what's right, risking not only my livelihood, but my life at times, you know, as a soldier. So, yes, you know, when people talk about being moderate, I literally stepped off the campaign trail to go to the U.S. Supreme Court to fight for the rights of little girls not to have boys in their spaces. And we won that. I fought for parental rights. I have fought against the transitioning of young children. You know, we won that lawsuit last year in the Scrimeti decision. So I am out there literally delivering victories. Tara, I don't know if you knew this. I've recovered over $2 billion on behalf of the citizens of South Carolina as attorney general, using the powers of the attorney general's office. Is that a moderate thing, recovering $2 billion? People are talking about doging fraud, waste, and abuse in South Carolina. I'm already using the powers of the AG's office to do that. I want to do that with the powers of the governor's office. And that's what I will do if elected. You have my commitment. And I will come in and let you ask me those questions when I'm in the seat.
Alan Wilson, do you have time to stick around for one more segment?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, we'll be right back. Jumping back on with Alan Wilson, who's now running for governor in the runoff. Good morning. This is a short session, segment, so I'm going to have to kind of move fast, Alan Wilson. The big, beautiful bill tax cuts were extended locally by, get this, California, Delaware, New Hampshire, but not South Carolina's legislature. We are to the left of California right now. Is that going to be something that we can count on you to get done?
Absolutely. And again, we should have seen leadership from the Yvette McMaster administration. We didn't see it, and it didn't get done in the legislature. I mean, as governor, this is something that we should be leading from in the front. And this is what I'm going to do as governor, Tara.
This is one of those, it's a small thing, but it says a lot of things. Dr. Traxler, for some reason, we have a woman who donated to Biden, ran a COVID vaccine campaign in South Carolina, and pushed mask mandates and shutdowns under McMaster's, you know, she basically is now running our whole health apparatus in the state, public health director, even though she donated to Biden. Should she get walking papers?
I mean, listen, when I come in, we're going to, first off, absolutely. But the number one thing is why did she get the nod to begin with? If Pam Yvette is claiming that she's going to be another McMaster administration, I would like her to answer that question. Again, she has been promising people around the state of South Carolina that if you love McMaster, you're going to get more of the same. And again, there's a lot of things that the governor has done that I agree with and that I would totally do, but there's a lot of things I question. I question the Scout Motors boondoggle deal. I question the Traxler deal. And I question the Panther Stadium deal. I question why he waited to call the General Assembly back into special session for the redistricting when he could have pushed for it a month earlier. I question all these things, and I question why she's not taking responsibility for that, but takes responsibility for everything else. So, yes, this is an individual that does not reflect the values of the people of South Carolina, and they would not reflect the values of the Wilson administration.
Well, you mentioned Scout Motors, and I'm glad that you did. They seem to want more and more money. Will there be any money for them, more money for them?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No. I'm trying to go quick, Tara. I know you've got a lot of questions to ask me.
Florida, you've told us about your economic agenda. Florida has become really a freedom factory. I mean, so many people are moving there now for protection and for the freedom. What will you do to increase freedom in South Carolina?
Well, first off, you're going to start with the family, protecting the rights of parents to raise their children the way that they want and not to have them indoctrinated in schools. That's number one. Number two, expanding prosperity and opportunity for families by, you know, obviously eliminating the income tax, reducing property taxes. Those are some of the things we can do to remove the impediments to people being able to provide for their families. I'm talking to single moms right now raising kids who can no longer afford to live in their home, and they have to live in an apartment because utilities have gone up, their mortgages have gone up, their property taxes have gone up, and there's too much money coming out of their paycheck. They can no longer afford to take care of their children. That is unacceptable in a state that's supposed to be as red as South Carolina. So my number one focus will be making you, your family, more wealthy as under the Wilson administration. That will be my number one focus.
Alan Wilson, got to wrap it up there. Thank you, and I hope you come back soon. Thank you for joining us on 98.9 WRD this morning. And again, congratulations. to hear the word Nazi come out of another Democrat mouth as long as I live.
Yeah.
Because I got two words for you, Graham and Plattner.
Yeah.
Now, think about this for a minute, and I haven't seen anybody else notice this. Janet Mills, the very liberal governor of Maine, who is running for the U.S. Senate as a Democrat in Maine, dropped out when Graham Plattner hit 61% in the polls. She gave up, right? She said, I'm done. Yeah. Well, since then, we've had all of these incredible disclosures about Graham Plattner, including the mainstream media finally admitting, including MS Now and CNN, yes, that is a Totenkopf tattoo, and yes, he knew what it was when he got it, and he knew what it was when he kept it on his body for 18 years. They have admitted that. They got dragged kicking and screaming, but they did lied a lot, you know, but finally did admit that. Okay, so you would think that support for Plattner would have gone down. It went up, right? So where do we start? A little over a month ago, 61%, Janet Mills drops out. He won by 73% yesterday. So the more they learned about his background, the fact that he's a self-described communist, the more they liked him. This is a watershed moment for the Democrat Party.
Yeah. Well, not only has he, you know, got the Nazi tattoo, but he's also many accusations about, you know, abusing women.
Yeah.
You know, boy, where have we heard this before, you know?
I guess Me Too doesn't count if you're accusing a Democrat man. Then it's just okay with me.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. She should have worn shorter, you know, longer shorts. I don't know. So, unbelievable there. And folks need to watch this because here's what's really interesting. We were told, and it is true, that Chuck Schumer, Democrat, basically head of the Democrat Party in the Senate, that he was funding Janet Mills' campaign. He was doing opposition research on Graham Plattner. A lot of the research we saw early on was from the Democrats, actually. That's how we know about the Nazi tattoo. We didn't do that. Now, here's what's weird. We've now found out that there's two Democrat Socialists of America members who recruited Graham Plattner. And we're now finding out that, you know, it seemed like he came out of nowhere. Well, the millions of dollars that backed him also came from Chuck Schumer. That broke yesterday. Damn. So this idea that Democrat Socialists of America are like they're out there, they're taking on the old guard of the Democrat Party, they're taking over, the old guard can't do anything about it. No, they're funding it. Because they're socialists too. This is so revealing. Mm-hmm. And it's terrifying. And let me tell you what, this is why we need the SAVE Act, Lee.
Yep.
Because this is not your granddaddy's Democrat Party. They get power, it's going to get bad.
I guess this isn't even your uncle's, you know, Democrat Party anymore.
Yeah, somebody texted me this morning on the text line, we need to send Inglorious Bastards into Maine. Like, where's Brad Pitt? Let's get him a tank and roll him in there.
Let's buy me some Nazis.
I know. I love how he says Nazi. Well, but no, but in all seriousness, we do. And so losing elections to these people is now going to have incredibly serious consequences. The good news is last night, Susan Collins courageously flipped her vote on the SAVE Act. We got 50 votes now. All we need is John Thune to give us a regular talking filibuster. He doesn't even have to suspend the other one. We just need a regular talking filibuster. J.D. Vance breaks the tie.
Yep.
Because let me tell you what, and I did my podcast on this yesterday. Watch closely the way that the election was just stolen in California. Mm-hmm. Watch that closely. Because there's not a thing we can do about it. When people say they've legalized election fraud, they didn't quite do that. But what they did is legalize all the things that make it impossible to detect it. So when they refuse to turn over their voter rolls, refuse to remove anyone from them, when there's that we know of, 873,000 people that have either died or moved on those rolls, everybody automatically gets mailed a ballot. Everybody is automatically registered. In fact, you have to petition to remove yourself from their rolls. They'll mail you a ballot. They send out ballot harvesters. And as Bill Esaley, the Central California District Attorney General for Donald Trump said, because he's from there, he said, Lee, that the problem is once the ballot harvester picks up the ballot, we can't trace it.
Yeah.
We have no, there's no mechanism tying that ballot to the voter. So you can very easily just dump a whole, you know, bucket of ballots in if you want. Yeah,
the old chain of custody routine.
Yeah. So when you look at what just happened here, the socialist, Nithya Raman, who's running, she lost her district to Spencer Pratt back when the totals looked real. And then came from behind and won with what? Homeless votes.
Oh, okay, great.
The most untraceable of all. And what can you do? You can turn those ballots in up to 7 days late. What does that mean? Nobody knows when they were cast.
Right.
Can't trace them. Okay, why do I care about this? Because of H.R. 1. That was the first bill filed when Nancy Pelosi took control in 2021. They were swept in with the Biden victory, right? What you're watching in California is the exact same system that was in that bill. Mandatory universal registration that registers you whether you want it or not, whether you're illegal or not. Mandatory mail-in ballots. Everybody gets a ballot automatically mailed to them. Very hard to remove anyone from the rolls for any reason, and it barred voter ID. Can you imagine? Everything would be like California.
Yeah.
Oh, look, the Democrats behind. Well, just wait 7 days. We'll fix that.
Right.
And then when the, you know, boxes of ballots come in, you can't do anything. You can't prove the fraud. By the way, that passed the House. Do you know why it didn't get through the Senate? Filibuster. Yeah, chew on that one.
Yeah, really.
So we are very lucky because we're seeing what they had planned for the entire nation in California as they just casually steal the election from Spencer Pratt's what they did. He was embarrassing them. He had to go. So they just simply found the votes and removed him. Can you imagine that here in South Carolina? You know what happened? This state go purple. That's what would happen. So this is your demo, okay? We can't have that. And the way to stop it is with the SAVE Act. Let me tell you why. Because if you have to register to vote with ID, okay? In the SAVE Act, yes, you can register by mail, but get this, you've got to physically bring your ID in for your registration to be complete. Well, now we're starting to tighten up the voter rolls.
Right.
And it makes a huge difference. It tightens up absentee balloting too. You can still do that if you're military and some other special cases. It doesn't end it, but it would put an end to the charade in California and keep them from exporting it. So that is why California is so important right now. And I just hope that we can get the pressure on John Thune. Just give us that filibuster. Just let us have the talking filibuster. We got the votes for it now. So this comes down to John Thune.
Great. Confidence is not high.
Well, but the good news is he keeps saying he's not going to do stuff and that's the end and no more. And Donald Trump, to his credit, has managed to push Thune over his red lines multiple times. I mean, he said there was going to be a vote at all, and now we're having multiple votes. So, there's hope.
Yeah.
There's hope.
Hope springs eternal.
Absolutely. Meanwhile, Lee, and I was predicting this, there's just, and it's getting buried, a lot of really good economic news. The economy is going in absolutely the right direction. No, gas prices aren't right now, but they come down a little, but the economy isn't. This is Steve Moore. Last week's blockbuster jobs report, more than 265,000 jobs added, when including upward employment revisions, was very welcome news to almost all Americans. The exception would be the economist of the left who throughout Trump's now 5.5 years in White House keep getting the economy dead wrong. Real incomes for Americans, which went backward $3,000 under Joe Biden, Lee, up when adjusted by inflation. So you're comparing apples to apples. We lost 3,000 under Biden. They're up by more than 6,000. Median household income up by 3,000. I mean, these are incredible gains.
Especially when you consider the headwinds this economy is having to deal with right now.
And it's only going to get better because Trump spent the first year fighting to get the big, beautiful bill through. His entire economic plan is in that bill. And it didn't take effect until January. It's just the way it worked.
Yeah.
So his economic plan is just starting. We are really only five months into it, really.
Well, this is why Democrats have got to fight so hard in the midterms to stop him, because it has every indication that it will work once we get this whole Iranian situation resolved and, you know, the international oil market back on a stable footing here, then that'll make a huge difference.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So, you know, barring some, I don't know, the Saudi oil fields get blown up by Iran or something.
Oh, please. Like,
you know, that'd be a worldwide recession. But, you know, barring something crazy like that, we're headed into good economic territory right now. Trump should take more credit for that because it's really good and it's only going to get better. Largest tax returns ever given to the American people. Massive tax cut on top of it. And then, you know, you're going to start to see factory openings. There's a reason you're seeing manufacturing jobs. They're ticking upward again. That's because of the factory expensing, the big, beautiful bill. You're going to see factories opening. It's just it's all going to explode and it's already happening. But I'll end with this. There is no way a business, you know, businesses add 265,000 jobs when they think the economy is going south. They don't do it because it's going north. So we just need this all to come together by November. Would be nice.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.